Program. The first hour tonight is sponsored by our education affairs correspondent, Kay. And her message from my dad, Lee Christman: thinking of you on what would have been your 74th birthday. I love you with all my heart, and I miss you every single day. Kay. Nice sentiment, Kay. Thanks for the sponsorship. And, yeah, thoughts about your dad. All right. Is Limbaugh still on the air? Huh? Not much longer. Oh, my God. Oh, it's very interesting to watch this swirl of fury against this guy who has no problem attacking an individual. The only thing that bothers me about this, and yeah, I'm going to talk about it for a second. I'll let it go then and talk about it third hour, but, and that way you can leave if you want to. But the thing that bothers me about all of a sudden the sponsors waking up to the fact that this hate mongering bastard has been out there, doing this is the fact that he's been doing it for a quarter of a century. And as far as I know, as far as anybody knows, the first time he's ever apologized. And oh, well, the reason he apologized, why? Because he felt bad about what he said? A four-day assault on a woman who testified before a bunch of Democrats in the House? Did he regret his words? No. He was losing advertisers. It's all about the money, eh, Rush? Pat Robertson came out with a statement. He has a theory for why tornadoes ripped through the Midwest last week. His reason? People didn't pray enough. Right Wing Watch put a clip up of Robertson talking during a recent episode of the 700 Club. This is what he said, quote, "If enough people were praying, God would have intervened. You could pray. Jesus stilled the storm. You can still storms." Robertson also blamed people for living in tornado-prone areas. He asked, why did you build houses where tornadoes were apt to happen? Pat Robertson and Rush Limbaugh is the same. As Right Wing Watch noted, Robertson had a different take on why the earthquake happened in Haiti a couple of years ago. Remember that? That disaster was caused, according to Robertson, because the Haitians made a pact with the devil. God, the right wing in this country is just wallows in its own excrement. It never stops. Never stops. Goodbye, Rush! According to the Borowitz Report, embattled radio host Rush Limbaugh suffered another major desertion today as he lost the support of one of his longtime sponsors, Satan. The usually reclusive Prince of Darkness announced his decision at a hastily called press conference in Columbus, Ohio, his unofficial headquarters on Earth. Satan said in a tersely worded statement, quote, "Due to remarks of his that we consider unacceptable, we are terminating our relationship with Rush Limbaugh." And according to one advisor to the Lord of Misrule, Satan had stuck by the radio host as long as possible, but after he called a young woman a slut on the air, Limbaugh had become radioactive. Satan's aide said, after a certain point, the association with Rush became problematic for Satan's public image. We went through a similar thing last year with Rupert Murdoch. Advertisers continued abandoning Limbaugh's program in droves today, including companies who had sponsored it for years, like the online dating site NaziMingle.com. The only good news for Limbaugh today came from Mitt Romney, who offered this muted statement of his support. Quote, look, I wouldn't have chosen the words he did, but it's not like he called her a poor person or something. End quote. Andy Borowitz of the Borowitz Report. And Larry in Portland sent me, there's something at Daily Kos for a petition to the Armed Forces Network asking them to support service women and women veterans and stop airing Limbaugh's radio program. According to Daily Kos, in addition to the 11 sponsors that have withdrawn their advertising from Limbaugh's radio program, now a group of female veterans are calling on Armed Forces Network Radio to drop Limbaugh from its programming. Here's an excerpt from the letter they sent to the network. Rush Limbaugh has a freedom of speech and can say what he wants. But in light of his horribly misogynistic comments, American Forces Radio should no longer give him a platform. Our entire military depends on troops respecting each other, women and men. There simply can be no place on military airwaves for sentiments that would undermine that respect. When many of our female troops use birth control, for Limbaugh to say they are sluts and prostitutes is beyond the pale. It isn't just disrespectful to our women serving our country, but it's language that goes against everything that makes our military work. End quote. Anyway, you can find this at Daily Kos. You can send an email to Armed Forces Network asking them to stop airing the Pig Man's radio program. And I think AOL has dropped now to more sponsors. Rock star Peter Gabriel has demanded that his song Sledgehammer be pulled from the show. Total of 9 sponsors have bailed out now. AOL posted a statement on Facebook. It read this way, quote, at AOL, one of our core values is that we act with integrity. We have monitored the unfolding events and have determined that Mr. Limbaugh's comments are not in line with our values. As a result, we have made the decision to suspend advertising on the Rush Limbaugh radio show. End quote. And on his Facebook page, Peter Gabriel said he was, his word, appalled to learn that his song had been associated with the attack on Fluke. The singer wrote on his page, quote, Peter was appalled to learn that his music was linked to Rush Limbaugh's extraordinary attack on Sandra Fluke. It is obvious from anyone who knows Peter's work that he would never approve such a use. He has asked his representatives to make sure his music is withdrawn, and especially from these unfair, aggressive, and ignorant comments. And it just goes on and on. It's about damn time. You know what I'm saying? Without the support of corporate America for the past 25 years, Rush Limbaugh makes $1 million a week. Without the support of major advertisers and Clear Channel and Premier Radio Network, this lump of human waste would be what he was when they first found him, a local talk show host screaming and yelling about the dirty, rotten liberals and the people on welfare. And that's where he belongs. Guy gives me the shivers. And welcome to all our new listeners tonight. We know we have a bunch of you. So fasten your seatbelt and come along for the ride. There was something the Common Dreams staff put out a couple of days ago that I think is important. It kind of goes along with what Bob Alexander has been writing on this program a lot, to this program. It goes along with what we have been talking about. And most people who understand the so-called limits of growth have been commenting about this for a couple of years now, but especially recently. And I want to share some of this with you when we come back. It starts with a quote from Bob Watson, the United Kingdom's chief scientific advisor on environmental issues, and a winner of the prestigious Blue Planet Prize in 2010. So we'll share that with you when we come back. Stay with us.
Progressive Talk. It's Mike Malloy.
Twenty-one past the hour. Bob Watson is the UK's chief scientific advisor on environmental issues, and he's a winner of the prestigious Blue Planet Prize in 2010. He said, quote, the current system is broken. It is driving humanity to a future that is 3 to 5 degrees centigrade warmer than our species has ever known and is eliminating the ecology that we depend on for our health, wealth, and senses of self. He went on to say, we cannot assume that technological fixes will come fast enough. Instead, we need human solutions. The good news is that they exist, but decision makers must be bold and forward thinking to seize them, end quote. Now, what he's talking about, of course, is this, what The Guardian's John Vidal reports as the absolutely unprecedented emergency that's facing this this planet. Now, the Blue Planet Prize, by the way, is the unofficial Nobel for the environment. And the consensus is that, society, that's all of us, including these red state half-wits, and right-wingers, this is why all the warnings that science can produce will not result in action, because the right-wingers control so much of what happens in the government of the United States. But the warning is still being sent, still being put out there. Anyway, The Guardian's John Vidal reports that in the face of an absolutely unprecedented emergency, society has no choice but to take dramatic action to avert a collapse of civilization. Ow! Either we will change our ways and build an entirely new kind of global society, or they will be changed for us. Now, when a right-winger sees that, their eyes start to glaze over and spittle starts to come out of their mouths, and all the right-wing talk show hosts start saying, oh, look, look, they're trying to impede development. They don't want people to drive big cars and get 3 miles to the gallon in their Hummer. Oh, it's a commie plot by these damn liberals. A collapse of civilization. All the warnings that could possibly be put together by the scientific community are completely, have to be completely ignored by these brain-dead right-wingers. They don't believe in science. They believe in their religious nonsense. Well, Obama said during the last campaign, when things get weird for them, they turn to their Bibles and their guns. And then they go beat their women, and then they turn on the Limbaugh program to see what they're supposed to do tomorrow. Sick bastards. The stark assessment of the current global outlook by the group, the Blue Planet Group, includes the U.S. climate scientist James Hansen, who is also, I think he was the head of NASA, too. And the consensus is that the perpetual growth myth You know, this is the foundation of capitalism, promotes the impossible idea that indiscriminate economic growth is the cure for all the world's problems. While it is actually the disease that is at the root cause of our unsustainable global practices, end quote. And apart from the dire warnings about biodiversity loss and climate change, the group challenges governments to think differently about what is termed economic progress. The group says, quote, the rapidly deteriorating biophysical situation is more than bad enough, but it is barely recognized by a global society infected by the irrational belief that physical economies can grow forever, and disregarding the facts that the rich in developed and developing countries get richer and the poor are left behind. The perpetual growth myth promotes the impossible idea that indiscriminate economic growth is the cure for all the world's problems, while it is actually the disease. But the Republicans, the right-wingers, the people who, the Rush Limbaughs, the Glenn Becks, the people who poison discussion in this country, who block discussion of these kinds of issues, who scream about the little nasty little comments about a woman testifying in front of Congress. These filthy, filthy right-wingers are the ones that are preventing this kind of discussion from occurring. That's why I say when the lights go out, I know where I want to be. Yes, I do. So the paper put out by the Blue Planet Society has some solutions, some ideas that could avoid this catastrophic meltdown of civilization. I'll tell you what they said when we come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
To right-wing radio, God kills a kitten.
25 before the hour. This hour is being sponsored by Kay Petrini. She writes for my dad, Lee Christman, thinking of you on what would have been your 74th birthday. I love you with all my heart, and I miss you every single day, Kay. Thanks, Kay. It's a very sweet sentiment. All right, perpetual growth myth is leading the world to a meltdown. That's according to the experts. So after laying out a synopsis of the problems, the apparently insurmountable problems that we're facing, and the reason we're facing them is because we have a right wing in this country and a right wing around the globe, but especially in this country, where we're supposed to, I guess, be the leaders, but the right wing would rather suck around Rush Limbaugh as he demonizes young women who testify in favor of birth control methods. It's astonishing. So the perpetual growth myth exists, and how to prevent a total planetary meltdown. Well, the paper put out by the Blue Planet organization urges governments to, first of all, replace gross domestic product, GDP as a measure of wealth, with metrics for natural, built, human, and social capital. Natural capital, stuff we build, human capital and social capital, and how they intersect. Second would be to eliminate subsidies in sectors such as energy, which Obama's talking about now. Also, eliminate subsidies in transport and agriculture that create environmental and social costs, which go unpaid, because, you know, the Republicans are right-wingers. They're not going to pay for anything. Oh, no. No, no. If Obama proposed a nut-ass a tax increase, no, to hell with that. Tackle overconsumption is the next one. Address population pressure by empowering women. Improve education and make contraception accessible to everyone. Thud. The sound you just heard was that idea banging up against the head of a right-winger. Thud.
I ain't gonna let no man have no well contraception.
Transform decision-making processes to empower marginalized groups. Integrate economic, social, and environmental policies instead of having them compete. Conserve and value biodiversity and ecosystem services. Now, you know, right-wingers listen to me right now, and they tuned in tonight because they're so curious. But the right-wingers are listening tonight. They don't have a clue what I'm talking about.
Is he talking about God? What's he talking about? Bioburpity? What'd he say? I don't know what this guy's saying. What the hell's he talking about? Good Lord. That's the reason I listen to Rush. Rush don't talk like this.
Oh, God. Where was I? Oh, yeah. Create markets for biodiversity and ecosystem services, which can form the basis of green economics. Invest in knowledge. What did Santorum say the other day? Barack Obama says everybody should have a college education. How? What was the word he used? So what a snob. Uh-huh. Right. So invest in knowledge, both in creating and in sharing it, through research and training that will enable governments, business, and society at large to understand and move towards a sustainable future. Never happened. Dr. Camilla Tuhlman, director of the International Institute for Environment and Development.
What's that? Some commie organization? Rush? Is that a commie organization? It is? Oh, thank you, Rush.
She says sustainable development is not a pipe dream. It is the destination the world's accumulated knowledge points us toward. The fair future that will enable us to live with security, peace, and opportunities for all.
Opportunities for all? Rush, is that communism? Yeah, I thought it's okay.
She adds, to get there, we must transform the ways we manage, share, and interact with the environment and acknowledge that humanity is part of nature, not apart from it.
What's she saying, Rush? They didn't say that in the Bible.
The problem that occurs, of course, when these papers are put together by some of the best scientific minds who understand the absolute necessity of a relationship, a sustainable relationship between human beings and this little blue dot. The problem is that the right-wingers have had 40 years, at least, of having ignorance pounded into their heads. They've had 25 years of having right-wing talk radio smashed into their faces to the point where they can't even think. They can't make decisions. They can't sort things out. They have no idea what to believe unless the pig men, and I make a plural because there are several of them now,
one less tonight,
the pig men dictate to them what they're supposed to think. Without the pig men dictating to them, they're lost. Absolutely lost. How did that happen? How did this country that used to pride itself on its educational standards and the fact that we were seeking knowledge, huh? How did that happen? How did these right-wing trolls manage to take control? How did that happen?
Well, Mike, it's because we're so smart. We know things. We're smart. You know, Rush tells us what to think, and Beck tells us who to hate, and we're smart. We're smart, Mike.
Somehow, there has to be a way to overcome this celebration of idiocy that the right wing in this country is involved in. The celebration of blank stares and booger eating, do nothingness. What are the plans for this session of the Senate? Mr. Senate Leader,
well, we only have one goal, and our goal is to make sure that Barack Obama is the one-term president. That's our only goal.
What? You mean the greatest deliberative body in the world is not going to deliberate?
We only have one goal, and that goal is to make sure that Barack Obama is almost Sir Rush Limbaugh, that Barack Obama is a one-term president. That's our only goal.
But Senator McConnell, there are so many things that desperately need to be done. Our system's falling apart, our infrastructure, our economy, our educational system, everything.
We only have one goal in this session of the Senate, and that's to make sure that Barack Obama is a one-term president.
So that's all I'm going to get from you, right?
We here in the Senate only have one goal, and that's to make sure that Barack Obama.
Yeah, it's a recording. It's a recording. Good Lord. From Prairie 2, Pat Robertson's advice to only build in areas that don't have tornadoes must mean he has lots to sell on the new Arctic beachfront. The polar areas are about the only place you can find that don't have tornadoes anymore. With global warming, formerly iced-in coastline acreage is now available for development. Pay no attention to the oil rigs, and don't worry about the polar bears eating your children instead of the seals. The environmentalists promise they will go extinct unless they adapt to eating children.
Ooh, Malloy's talking about bears eating children. Ooh, you see what those liberals do? They have no respect for children.
Man. Oh, yeah, this is another attack. There's an ad, an anti-Obama ad at a Washington, D.C. metro station. It starts off criticizing Obama's health care reforms and ends up telling the president to, quote, go to hell. Jim Rand, a Democratic congressman for Virginia, says this goes beyond the pale. No, it doesn't, Mr. Moran. It really doesn't. This is mealy-mouth stuff for right-wingers. Telling the president of the United States to go to hell? You got to see some of my emails. Of course, I'm not the president. The advertisement is for Sick and Sicker, When the Government Becomes Your Doctor. That's a documentary that interviews Canadian doctors and patients in the hope of showing how dangerous Obamacare is for the American people. The ad says, Barack Obama wants politicians and bureaucrats to control America's entire medical system. Go to hell, Barack. Oh, God. Representative Moran, Democrat, wrote a letter to Metro General Manager Richard Sarles calling for the removal of the advertisement. He wrote, the ad is deeply disrespectful of the President of the United States, blah, blah, blah. But it turns out that such language is within the accepted limits of American law, and such advertisements are protected under the First Amendment of the Constitution. The Metro Authority said in a written statement in response to Representative Moran, advertising has been ruled by the courts as a public forum protected by the First Amendment of the Constitution, and we may not decline ads based on their political content. Go to hell is political. Well, yeah, it is. It really is. of the hour. This hour has been sponsored by Kay Petrini. Thank you, Kay. She writes for my dad, Lee Christman, thinking of you on what would have been your 74th birthday. I love you with all my heart, and I miss you every single day. Signed, Kay. Thanks for the sponsorship, Kay, and it's very sweet thoughts about your dad. More Rick Santorum hypocrisy. Not that it matters. I realize we have important things that are facing the planet, but especially us in this country, or equally us in this country. But this field of mental screwballs that the Republican Party has decided to put out there for the Republican screwballs to vote for pretty much guarantees. I don't understand what they're... What this big rush? All the money being spent, all this activity. Whoever comes out standing when this is over is just going to have his ass kicked by Barack Obama anyway. This is a race to see who gets stomped on by Barack Obama. You know it. I know it. Every right winger knows it. They all know it. This is so that Santorum and Newt and the rest of these clowns can go. Demand high speaking fees for the next couple, 3 years, right? Until the 2016 race begins. I wonder if the Republicans are going to bow this time, huh? I'll guarantee you one thing. They're not going to have this long of a primary season. The longer these people talk, and poll after poll is proving this to be the case, the longer these Republicans talk, the more so-called debates they have, the more a camera is thrust in their face, the less and less the American people are willing to listen to their garbage or vote for them. So keep it going. Just keep it going, boys, as long as you can. And every once in a while, have a Rush Limbaugh jump in there and add his little bit of poison to the mix. Stir it all up and say goodbye, Republican Party. Goodbye, right-wingers. Santorum. He's always hammering away at the role state and federal governments play in running schools. Right? What does he call them? Government schools. What this freak, Neil Bortz has been saying for 25 years. They're government run schools. That's what Santorum calls them. And Santorum always talks about how he and his wife have homeschooled their 7 children and says parents should be the ones responsible for educating their kids. Really? How do you teach your kid to be a dentist, Rick? Half-ass. Yet, when Santorum was the senator from Pennsylvania, he got a Pittsburgh area school district to pay tens of thousands of dollars in tuition for his children to receive online schooling. What? I mean, the hypocrisy from these people is so deep and so wide, it's a wonder they can move from their beds to their breakfast tables in the morning without drowning in their own garbage. And this, I guess this is from Huffington Post. Is this where this is from? It's a bit of history that's unknown to many voters outside Pennsylvania. That Santorum got a Pittsburgh area school district, taxpayer school district, to help pay tens of thousands of dollars in tuition for his children. Santorum now says he wants to dramatically curtail the power of states and the federal government in public education. He said, quote, recent debate in Arizona, he said, quote, not only do I believe the federal government should get out of the education business, I think the state government should start to get out of the education business and put it back with the local and into the community, whatever that means, except where it concerns him. This is the hypocrisy. This is the degeneracy of every single right winger. This is it, right here. Out of millions, of course, of examples. He mocks schools in this country as factories. And he says he would homeschool his kids in the White House if he becomes... Oh, good. You mean you'll dump it on your wife or somebody, right? In the fall of 2004, Santorum's use of tax dollars to pay for his kids' homeschooling became controversial because his family was primarily living in Leesburg, Virginia. Following a local newspaper report, the Penn Hills School District near Pittsburgh tried to recover about $73,000 that it contended the state wrongly sent to an internet-based charter school. Although the Santorums owned a house in the school district, officials argued, they were living out of state. The Pennsylvania Education Department agreed to pay the district $55,000 to settle the dispute. Santorum's campaign did not respond to questions about his family's online instruction. Of course not. The Santorums withdrew their children from the cyber school and resumed homeschooling after Penn Hills officials complained about the tuition payments. He should have been held accountable for that money, and he never was. Of course not. This is a right-winger. Right-wingers can do and say anything they want. And if a normal person doesn't like it, well, I don't know, man. I guess you can just stuff it in your ear. Right, Rush? Huh? Oh, God. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Program. This hour is being sponsored by Marla Taylor. Marla says, all my thanks for your wonderful eye-opening program. Canada is basically as right-wing as much of America, and we need your expert voice to help us find our way through the muck and the lies. Marla. Thanks, Marla. Yeah, well, you people don't have yet the kind of swine that pass themselves off as radio hosts here. Of course, I guess you pick up the American programming, so just as bad, right? Phone lines are open, 877-996-2556, if you want to check in. 877-996-2556. From Jamie in Baltimore. Mike, thanks for talking about the nearly $100,000 in Pennsylvania taxpayer dollars that the Santorums took to homeschool their kids while the family was living in Virginia. And let's not forget that the Rickster also went to Penn State and thus had no problem sucking off the teat of the state-funded schools. Since Santorum wants to eliminate both state and federal funding of all education, these are just more examples of his pure hypocrisy, which rejects all right-winger, which reflects all right-wingers, all conservatives, and all Republicans' philosophy of all for me, none for thee. Another good example, The prenatal genetic testing that Santorum's wife had that led to her life-saving abortion about 15 years ago. Santorum is against requiring insurance companies to provide the same type of testing because, quote, problematic results, end quote, per his assessment, lead to abortions. Santorum also believes that all abortion, including those to save the life of the woman, should be illegal, and that all doctors performing the life-saving procedure should be put in jail. Let's hear it for another pro-death, lying, hypocritical, child-hating, misogynist among the Republican ranks. Jamie in Baltimore. Well, I think they're all like that, Jamie. It's not just a couple. It's not just Santorum. It's every single one of these thugs. Every single one of them. From Malachi in Saskatoon, we do have the swine. You do up here, Mike. In this province, there's John Gormley, a former conservative politician spewing on the airwaves. And on television, there's the new Murdoch venture, Sun TV, also known as Fox TV North. Oh, my God, there's just no escape. Man. What do you think of a civil right to organize, to union organize? A civil right to unionize, that's what I'm trying to say. It was a very interesting piece in the New York Times the other day. They talk about how from the 40s to the 70s, organized labor helped build a middle-class democracy in this country. And they point out that the post-war period was as successful as it was because of unions, which helped enact progressive social legislation from the Civil Rights Act to Medicare. And, of course, since then, union representation of American workers has fallen. Also, what has fallen is the percentage of income going to the middle class. Huh? Broadly shared prosperity, which was the idea after World War II, broadly shared prosperity has been replaced by this winner-take-all plutocracy. Give me everything, you get nothing. Well, but that's not fair. Who said it should be fair? Now, corporations, according to the Times, will tell you that the American labor movement has declined so significantly because unions are obsolete. In a global economy where American workers have to compete against low-wage non-union workers in other countries. But how does that explain an industrial democracy like Germany, where they have strong unions despite facing the same pressures from globalization? It's another example of the lies and the deception perpetrated on the American public by the right wing in this country and its media spokespeople, led by the stinky Rush Limbaugh. And all of his clones were out there telling anyone who will listen that unions are bad. Organized labor is communist. Rush Limbaugh, who makes $1 million a week, is telling working class America, first of all, the fact that he tries to insinuate that he represents working class Americans is a joke. It's not. It's an obscenity. Take a look at Limbaugh. He's never worked a minute in his life. He sits on his bucket of lard and spreads his crap across the airways. Probably not for much longer if there is justice. In fact, the greatest impediment to unions is weak and anachronistic labor laws, according to the Times. It's time to add the right to organize a labor union to Title VII of the Civil Rights Act, because that right is as fundamental as freedom from discrimination in employment and education. Woo! Now, as the Times points out, actually it was an op-ed piece by Richard Collenberg and Moshe Marvit. As they point out, adding the right to organize a labor union without employer discrimination to Title VII of the Civil Rights Act would enshrine what the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. observed in 1961 at an AFL-CIO convention when he said, quote, the two most dynamic and cohesive liberal forces in the country are the labor movement and the Negro freedom movement. Together we can be architects of democracy, end quote. Now you know why they had him killed. And going all the way back to the 1948 Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which recognized that, quote, everyone has a right to form and to join trade unions for the protection of his interests, end quote. The First Amendment has been read to protect freedom of association. And the 1935 National Labor Relations Act recognized, quote, the right to self-organization, to form, join, or assist labor organizations, end quote. Firing someone for trying to organize a union is technically illegal under the act passed in 1935, but there are powerful incentives for corporations to violate that right, in part because the penalties are so weak. The civil rights, or the civil right to form a union. And as the two writers say, the labor and civil rights movements have shared values, including advancing human dignity, shared interests, people of color are disproportionately working class, shared historic enemies, the Jim Crow South was also a bastion of right-to-work laws, still is, and shared tactics, sit-ins, strikes, and other forms of nonviolent protest. And Dr. King, it should be remembered, was gunned down in Memphis when he was supporting striking black sanitation workers who marched carrying posters with the message, I am a man. So conceiving labor organizing as a civil right, the writers, the authors here suggest, would recast the complexity of labor law reform in clear moral terms. We are so far away and slipping even further from recognizing some of these truths, don't you think? We have pundits in this country who talk about a woman is a whore because she feels that the right to birth control is a settled issue.
Liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. It's Mike Malloy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. 21 past the hour. Phone number here is 877-996-2556. Jim is in Las Vegas, listening on Sirius. Hello, Jim.
What's up, Mike? How you doing tonight?
All right. You're up.
Yeah. That's fantastic. I'm your biggest listener in Las Vegas, or at least I think so.
Oh, well,
but,
thank you.
What I wanted to ask you about is, do you think Rush Limbaugh's going through his 19th nervous breakdown right about now?
Rush doesn't live where you and I live. In other words, planet Earth. I mean, somebody makes $1 million a week working 15 hours a week. and can bring any Republican member of Congress and the head of the Republican National Committee trembling to their knees. Rush doesn't live like you and I do. No, this is just a joke to him. It means nothing.
So you don't think all of what was 10, 8, 9, 10 of his sponsors have pulled out?
I think it's up to 12 sponsors now. But the corporations that back him, while they don't want to be associated with someone who calls a woman a slut because she advocates in favor of something that most people have been most women have been practicing for half a century, they know that it'll die down. So. The only people who could really bring Rush to heel would be the network that distributes his program. And they're not going to because they make too much money. This is America. It doesn't make any difference what Limbaugh said. He's been saying garbage for 25 years. He's been insulting.
To interrupt you, I'm sorry, yeah. But
no.
I think it's been about, I'm 52, I think it's been since I've been born, they've been doing that, you know.
Well, actually came on the air, I think, in the mid-80s, and has been covering the airwaves with this poison to the point that there's not even a chance for normal political discourse now. Anyone who wants to challenge right-wingers, anyone who wants to challenge their lies or their deceptiveness, anyone who wants to challenge the hypocrisy is immediately, I mean within the right-wing community, is immediately brought to heel. Rush just cracks his whip or throws an empty bottle of OxyContin at them, and they just get in line real fast. Oh, I'm sorry, Rush. I'm sorry. Oh, don't talk about me, Rush. Please, I want to get reelected. Ah.
No. When I said 50 years, I meant it's been going on. It started back in the 60s when they, you know, because one of the things I find kind of funny is when they talk about the great old days of Walter Cronkite, you know, about him finally deciding Vietnam was over. When was that? 68, 69?
Right.
I mean, the media's been controlled, I mean, you know, to me, since I've been born.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily disagree with that, Jim. But up to the last 25 or 30 years, the control exercised in media was at least tempered by the fact that we had rules about how the public airwaves could be used. You had to present both sides of a political argument. You had to cover certain topics. You had to serve the public interest. All that went away in the Reagan era when the Fairness Doctrine was removed. And then in the Clinton era, consolidation allowed companies like Clear Channel to buy up 500, 1,000, 1,500 radio stations and then put the pig man on every single one of them so that you couldn't escape. You couldn't escape. No matter where you were in the United States, if you turned on your AM radio, you would hear this bloviating bastard someplace.
No, you're right. But one thing for me, maybe it's why I'm so extremely enlightened, tongue-in-cheek, but I think I've never listened to a whole show of his, or I remember when he had his little TV show, and
right.
I could only watch 5 or 10 minutes. I mean, I'm like with Fox News, I could only watch 5 or 10 minutes. But even then, I was watching him when, you know, the news about Rush was coming out, and they seemed to, well, they kind of, to me, they were definitely downplaying it, but they also seemed kind of bummed out, especially with the stuff going on with the Murdoch family.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know, Jim, I've got to take a break here. Listen, thanks for checking in. I hear what you're saying, and like I said, I don't disagree with you at all. Take care, Jim.
Maybe you're lost, gone.
Mike Malloy.
Before the hour, this hour is being sponsored by Marla Taylor. Thanks, Marla. Her comments, all my thanks for a wonderful eye-opening program. Canada is basically as right-wing as much of America, and we need your expert voice to help us find our way through the muck and the lies. Expert voice, okay, thank you, but not so much. You know, just a 25-cent radio program that I'm glad you tune into. Thanks, Marla. Tim is in L.A. listening online. Hello, Tim.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
I'm all right. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Good.
Oh, by the way, I guess I'm the official researcher for Margot Paez.
Yeah.
And I was doing some research, and I got in contact with people from Anonymous, and they are mad at Rush Limbaugh, and I'm going to be interviewing the guy, or actually talking to a person from Anonymous, and that person's got has some really interesting things he wanted to do to Rush Limbaugh electronically.
I'll bet he does.
I'm not sure if it's he or she, but there's also another group called Anonymous, M-I-S-S.
Right.
And they are mad too.
Anonymister and Anonymous.
Yes. And they had, you know, some information from them earlier. It wasn't really anything major. I mean, you get it from, you know, Freedom of Information or whatever, or just off the internet. But from what I'm told, they're going full bore, and they are going to go after Rush Limbaugh.
Well, that probably would be... probably be a wonderful thing, but you know they should be careful. Just like the dog that chases the car, what does he do when he catches the car?
Well, I mean, they did the same thing with H.P. Gary Federal, Visa, MasterCard. I guess the same thing. If you know what I mean.
He is such a waste as a human being, and the damage he's done to this country is just incalculable. I mean, how do you go back over a 25-year period and erase, not from the airwaves, once it's out there, but erase from the collective consciousness of literally millions of Americans over a certain age the philosophy of this pig that is anti-woman, unless it's one that he owns for a while, anti-woman, anti-poor people, anti-children, anti-liberal, anti-decency, anti-environment, anti-everything except his own little corpulent million-dollar-a-week job where he sits back on his haunches and just makes fun of and demeans everybody. Good luck with whatever the Anonymous may or may not be thinking of, but no matter what it is, how do you eliminate from people's minds, the answer is you don't, the crap and corruption that this thug has put out there using the public airwaves for 25 years? Oh, well.
But I guess the point is, I mean, if he thinks that he could get away with doing what he's doing, he's got another thing coming because he can't. He really cannot do what he's doing, you know, for the past 25 years anymore.
Well, I hope that's the case.
So am I. Is it okay if I plug Margot's site?
Oh, sure, absolutely.
Oh, thank you. Her site is insightoutnews.org or letter I, out, O-U-T, news, N-E-W-S, .org.
Okay, say it again.
Okay, Insight, I-N-S-I-G-H-T, like Insight, out, O-U-T, news, N-E-W-S, .org, or the letter I, out, O-U-T, news, N-E-W-S, .org.
All right, and that program comes on... when an hour, or no, half an hour from now? It comes out what time on the West Coast?
Oh, no, she's revamping her whole system. She's revolutionizing the whole system. There's like a change. Just different technical issues and whatnot. So she's revamping, and I'm helping her as much as I can too.
Okay, but what hour? When is she on?
She's redoing her whole program, and she's working on it right now. We're working on it right now.
Okay. All right. Well, good luck with it, and please tell her I said, best wishes. I think it won't be too much longer that so much of what is broadcast in this country is going to be internet-based. There's a lot of talk out there in the industry that AM and FM radio really is becoming kind of anachronistic given the new technology and the iPhones, the iPads, mm-hmm. this, that, blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm talking about. You know better than I do.
Yes, exactly.
And the tying together, the consolidating of this kind of technology. And I'm sad to see it. I mean, I grew up with, first AM radio and then FM radio. And I hate to, I was on the tail end, of that generation that actually used to gather around the radio in the evening and listen to pro like Jack Benny's show or George Burns and Grace Allen before they made the transition to television. Right. And I can vaguely, barely remember my parents listening to these radio programs, before. I'm not saying television wasn't around, but it wasn't around that, it wasn't all that popular. There might have been two or three families in our neighborhood that had television. It was like, oh my God, you've got television? Well, you know it's going to kill you because those rays coming out of there are just going to, they're going to rot your brain. Little did we know that was the truth, right? Only in a different way. But I hate to see if these experts are right, that radio as we know it is going to disappear and it's going to be replaced by net-based or satellite-based systems.
Right.
And even the satellite-based systems eventually will be web-based. If that's the case, Margo is
ahead of the curve.
It's what? Go ahead.
Oh, no, I'd say you're ahead of the curve right now yourself.
Well, we stream, but our main source of output of this program is via radio. But anybody who's on the web right now and is young and doing this, doing this kind of business probably is getting in on the ground floor or something because it's going to happen. And again, I hate to see it happen. I mean, I love radio. I love radio. All right. Well, thanks, Tim. And
thank you very much, Mike. And thank you for the cookies. The girls got cookies.
Okay. Well, you're more than welcome.
All right. Thank you, Miss Molly.
Right. She's fast asleep.
Oh, okay.
All right. Take care, Tim.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
All right, bye. Tim in L.A., thanks for the cookies. Yeah. We got a lot of those emails from people, thanks for the cookies. If you don't know what we're talking about, Kathy did this thing where if you sponsored an hour of the program, you got a free box of Girl Scout cookies because it's that time of year. It's the damnedest thing, these Girl Scout cookies. I never paid that much attention to them, and it's just about over. But when they come out, people stop you on the street. Because Kathy and her troop of girls is involved in all this, Kathy painted on the car, on the side of the car, Girl Scout cookie van or mobile Girl Scout cookies, and it looks real pretty. She painted it in green and white paint. And no matter where we are, I was leaving the neighborhood this morning, and it was garbage pickup day. And I come around the corner, and one of these huge, hulking, million-ton garbage trucks comes around the corner, and the woman driving it says, "Why? Wait a minute!" I pulled over. "You got any cookies?" I said, "Yes, of course I do." What, are you going to argue with a woman driving a 30-ton garbage truck? "Of course I do!" So, and we carry some in the car. Later on the day, we were at the post office. People come up to the car. "Have you got any Samoas?" Where were we? We were at a coffee shop a little bit later in the afternoon while Molly was at the ballet. A teenager from a local high school comes over. "Have you got any of the..." I mean, it just doesn't stop. And I had no idea. Thank God it's almost over. I had probably eaten more cookies in the past 3 weeks than in the past 3 years. It's just unbelievable. But you know what? Samoas, There is no cookie on earth like a Samoa. The chocolate and the cookie and the toasted coconut. So another, I think another few days. I think they have one more booth sale. Molly and her co-brownies and Kathy, the troop leader. One more this weekend someplace around Metro Atlanta where they'll be selling the last 60 or 70 boxes of these Girl Scout cookies, and then it's all over. Thank God. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Management. Back to Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. This hour has been sponsored by Marla Taylor. Thank you, Marla. She writes, all my thanks for your wonderful eye-opening program. Canada is basically as right-wing as much of America, and we need your expert voice to help us find our way through the muck and the lies. Yeah, the right wing in this country has been distorting and destroying and demonizing and twisting and perverting and polluting for so long now, and I just wonder how much longer before these vermin are finally chased from the airwaves. I don't know what it's going to take. The distortion, the half truths, the untruths, they just never stop. Reg points out Rush has called women who stand up for the rights of women feminazis for years without a single whimper from anyone. This assault is only the latest and possibly most outrageous, but surely in line with everything Rush stands for. Beck is gone. Rush will follow. Reg. Yeah, that's why these advertisers pulling out. And Limbaugh coming on the air, waddling on the air with his half-witted, half-assed apology to a woman who he demonizes and calls a whore by name, for God's sake. It's astonishing. And the apology was just more weasel words. It means nothing, absolutely nothing. And I think the young woman involved understands it means nothing. William writes, Rush said long ago, Rush called the homeless long ago urban outdoorsmen. And now we see even more homeless people. People can chip away at Rush, yet that might be like chipping away at a blob of mercury. It's just, yeah, I mean, Limbaugh's reputation is just, I mean, it just goes on, like I said, for 2.5 decades.
Well, I think my personal favorite was the time that he suggested that the subsidized breakfast program for children who couldn't afford to eat should be stopped and the kids could just dumpster dive for food.
Yeah, teach them how to dive into dumpsters.
Teach them
how to dive
into dumpsters to eat garbage because the government shouldn't be providing them with any breakfast.
Oh, he's filthy. He's just a filthy, filthy, degenerate man. You would think that somebody who who manages to wring $1 million a week out of his filthy cadre of organizations that keep him on the air. And I call them filthy because what Rush does is nothing new. It's just a matter of degrees. He's been this way always. Demeans women, demeans children, demeans old people, demeans the homeless, demeans environmentalists, demeans everybody except porcine, wealthy scum like himself. And it just never stops. So this, 12, 14, whatever the hell it is, sponsors have said that's enough. It's about goddamn time. Where have you been? Where have you been? Man. Larry in Portland writes, Mike, I think Rush Limbaugh needs more time in drug rehab. Maybe we'll see him in an upcoming show on Dr. Drew. Larry goes on, it's obvious that Rush hates women, and his treatment of Georgetown law student Sandra Fluke this week just reinforces his disdain and disrespect for women. And I believe I know why he hates women. It's because, no, I can't say that. No. But I can do the next paragraph. Larry, this whole Republican charade about contraception and women's health by the Republicans in Congress has really wasted a lot of valuable time and taxpayer dollars. Makes me wonder if the Republicans were forced to do this crap by signing another Grover Norquist pledge. It also makes me wonder if the radical right-wing agenda by the righties in Congress on contraception and women's health was the last straw for moderate conservative Olympia Snowe when she announced this week that she'd had enough and should be resigning. Go back to 2010, months before the November election, of the GOP Tea Party extremists that were campaigning that year on jobs, 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 and look what happened. Americans believed their jobs, 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 and voted these Tea Party scum into Congress. And so where are the jobs that these Tea Party extremists campaigned on in 2010? What have they been doing on jobs, jobs, jobs for the American people these last 2 years? They've had no follow through. They effing lied in 2010, and they're still lying and dragging their dumb arses around in Congress. And for what? For some phony, fake, moral, religious freedom over the pill, contraception, birth control? And now the Senate rejected their whacked-out Blunt Amendment. And in the meantime, a transportation infrastructure bill, which is a jobs bill, sits unacted upon in the halls of Congress because the effing Republicans wanted to attach a right-wing net amendment to it. The Blunt Amendment! The Republican Party was hijacked by the Tea Party Nazi brown shirts in 2010, who keep using the flag and liberty and religion to attack women in 2012, using contraception as their weapon of choice in this particular battle. They lied about jobs, and the only jobs they produced are snow jobs on one of their own members and on the American people. Rush Limbaugh called the wrong person this week the word slut. That word, slut, it belongs to and describes the entire Republican Party in Congress. And it all started with their so-called leaders, Mitch Lanternjaw McConnell and John Boehner. Regards, Larry in Portland. Larry, very eloquent. I couldn't have said it better myself. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. back along about six and a half past the hour. This hour is being sponsored by Patricia White. And, okay, there's kind of a cryptic message here, Patricia. I'll just read it the way it is written. We live out in the country between two towns. Life in the country can get complicated at times. Okay, thanks, Patricia. I love the message. I don't know what it means, but I love it. All right, I warned you that we were going to talk about the pig man this hour, so if you want to leave now, I understand. Okay, your coats are there in the coat room to the left, and I'll see you tomorrow night, okay? Now, for those of you who are sticking around, just a couple of things. Pro Flowers said yesterday it has suspended advertising on the Pigman's radio program because of his comments about Sandra Fluke. And a spokesperson for Pro Flowers on its Facebook page said that the Limbaugh's comments, quote, went beyond political discourse to a personal attack and do not reflect our values as a company, end quote. You got to wonder a little bit about these advertisers that are pulling out. I mean, I understand the severity of the attack and the obscenity of this bloated bastard attacking this woman. But what about the other things he said? Oh, well, don't look a gift horse in the mouth, right? That makes seven advertisers that have pulled their ads from this horrible, disgusting man who has been on America's airwaves across the fruited plain for close to 30 years. I don't know. The six others are Quicken Loans, Sleep Train, and Sleep Number mattress retailers, the software maker Citrix Systems, online data backup service provider Carbonite, and the legal document services company LegalZoom. And as you know, on Saturday, Limbaugh apologized on his website. He said, "For over 20 years, I've illustrated the absurd with absurdity, 3 hours a day, 5 days a week. In this instance, I chose the wrong words in my analogy of the situation. I did not mean a personal attack on Mrs. Fluke." You lying son of a bitch, that's exactly what you meant. What do you mean you didn't mean a personal attack? That's all it was a personal attack. But this is the kind of weaselly, Vaseline'd up, kind of slimy words that usually come slithering out of Limbaugh's mouth, right? "No, I didn't mean a personal attack." Limbaugh went on in his online apology. He wrote, quote, "I think it's absolutely absurd that during these very serious political times, we're discussing personal sexual recreational activities before members of Congress." Really? Where do we draw the line? If this is accepted as the norm, what will follow? Will we be debating if taxpayers should pay for new sneakers for all students that are interested in running to keep fit? In my monologue, I posited that it's not our business whatsoever to know what's going on in anyone's bedroom. Nor do I think it's a topic that should reach the best level. My choice of words was not the best. And in the attempt to be humorous, I created a national story. I sir apologize to Miss Fluke for the resulting word choices. Erp. Go to hell, Limbaugh. You're just like all the rest of these slimy right-wingers. You know, when you finally do stick your foot in it deep enough that it goes all the way up to your knee, you start saying, "Oh, well, I didn't mean that." What is really disgusting to me is Premier Radio Networks that hosts Limbaugh's program. And Limbaugh has an on-air contract with Premier that runs for another 4 years. A spokeswoman for Premier in an email statement Sunday, her name is Rachel Nelson, she wrote, quote, "The contraception debate is one that sparks strong emotion and opinions on both sides of the issue." What? "We respect the right of Mr. Limbaugh, as well as the rights of those who disagree with him, to express those opinions," end quote. Well, Miss Rachel Nelson excuse me all to hell, but Limbaugh's comments had nothing to do with the strong emotion and opinions on both sides of the issue of contraception. And you know it didn't, Miss Rachel Nelson. How much is Premier paying you to get out there as a female and totally turn yourself into a spokeswoman for the network when you know, that they're not two sides of the issue Limbaugh brought up? Oh, wait a minute. Yes, there are. Limbaugh said she was a slut and a prostitute and a whore and every other name he could come up with. So I guess the other side of that, Miss Nelson, would be that she's not a prostitute, a slut, and a whore because she was going to testify before Congress. Is that the point you're making, Premier Radio Network spokeswoman Rachel Nelson? Is that it? We respect the right of Limbaugh to express those opinions, so Premier is saying. Premier Radio Networks is stating categorically that they support Limbaugh's right to call this woman a whore, a slut, round-heeled, and all the other garbage that came flying out of this crazy man's mouth, as it always does. Way to go, Premier Radio Networks. You talk about weasel words. We respect Limbaugh's right to call a woman a whore. And she has every right to say, no, I'm not. Great. That's just groovy, Premier. But, this is just Limbaugh, spokesperson, the head of the Republican Party. This is why the Republican Party, the one that you knew 25 or 30 years ago, yes, the party of Reagan, I'm sorry, but it's gone and has been replaced by the party of this pig bastard Limbaugh, who can do whatever he wants to do. His apology is a joke. It's a complete joke. And he knows it's a joke. He spends 4 days attacking a woman and then issues a written statement on his website saying, poor choice of words. Really? No, a poor choice of words would be to say, that Putin is a Democrat. That would be a poor choice of words, Rush. What you did was attack, as you always do, a person you thought who could not defend herself. And that nobody would come to her defense, because that's the way you usually work. Everybody's so afraid of you, aren't they, Rush, huh? They're just so terrified of you. Only this time, you got one of your huge verbal farts slammed right back in your face, didn't you? But you don't care. I mean, what difference does it make? What do you make, $1 million a week? It doesn't make any difference, huh? You did it. Why? Because you've lost so many advertisers, or because in your heart you really realize that you said the wrong thing? You filthy man. You filthy, filthy, filthy man, you. Somebody posted alternate. I find it amusing that Limbaugh thinks the pill costs more if you have more sex. I guess his wives have been telling that to extort more shopping money from him. I guess they've convinced him that their pills work just like the Viagra pills he uses down in the Dominican Republic while he was shopping in the sex slave market. This is a man who committed prescription fraud in order to get OxyContin to make himself deaf. 4 wives and no children. Could Limbaugh be sterile? And now Bill Falafel O'Reilly is saying that this dispute is all about subsidizing promiscuous lifestyles. How much did he pay to settle his sexual harassment charge? Huh? O'Reilly, Limbaugh, Hannity, Beck, you scummy bastards. Well, one down last week, 5 or 6 more of you to go. We'll be right back.
Class, because I'm a fat conservative, butthead, with the face of a horse's ass.
He's a fat conservative, butthead,
hey,
with the face of a horse's ass.
I have a subhuman figure, a huge rear end. My brain? That's another story.
It's quite another story.
I have a face the size of a washtub, and my ass is as big as Missouri. Yes!
This bastard is sick, he's a fat mom, as big, and his ass is as big as Missouri.
like the truth. I can't believe they hate my show. Inspires. It's not just because they're stupid. It's not just because they're dumb. It's just because Republicans are liars. I am heartless. I am vain, insensitive, insane. They say that I'm a national disgrace. I am nasty, insulting, basically revolting. I'm concentrated pile.
I know what the consensus is. You know, gee, Malloy, why are you wasting your time talking about somebody as insignificant as Limbaugh? Well, the quick answer is he's not insignificant. Would that he were. And the fact remains that he should be. But anything that I say on this program doesn't add to, nor does it detract from, his enormous popularity in America. This is a living icon. This is this man who is, you know, between he and Gingrich, they've had, what, 8 marriages? This is a guy who sent his housekeeper out to score drugs on the street. This is a man who attempted doctor fraud in order to feed his habit. This is of OxyContin. This is a man who drove himself deaf. This is a man who has spent the past quarter century just pouring out the most brutal kind of hate talk against people who can't defend themselves. And nobody challenges him. Nobody calls him the rat son of a bitch that he is. I mean, people in a position of power. None of these Republican candidates, these good Christians, huh? Do you like this? Good Christians calling a woman a whore and a slut and a prostitute and every other filthy name he can think of. I mean, he's—I don't know, what is that? That's a 14-year-old, isn't it? Operating? I don't know. But for the people who say, "Well, come on, Malloy, there are important issues," sure there are, and they don't get discussed. Not because I'm not bringing them up, but because somebody with as big a microphone as Rush Limbaugh, who reaches millions upon millions upon millions of people, spends his time attacking a student because she testified about having available through health insurance plans birth control. So, for those of you who, and especially those of you on the left who want to send me an email, say, "Oh, come on, Malloy, move on." Spare me, okay? Don't send it, because it's that "come on, Malloy, move on" attitude so often that results in nobody anywhere challenging what this filthy, horrid, bloated human being says over and over and over again. Even the head of the Republican National Committee had to, you know, take off his hat and shuffle up to Rush's feet and beg forgiveness a couple years ago. Remember that? Michael Steele shuffling around like some handkerchief head. Isn't that what my friend over in South Carolina called Michael Steele? A handkerchief head Negro? They all do it. The white folks do it. The black folks do it. Everybody just sucks up to Limbaugh. Why? What the hell is wrong with you people? I mean, what is it? Limbaugh can go on the air and destroy a politician the same way he attempted to destroy a woman who testified about birth control? Limbaugh is a goddamn coward. The only thing that props him up is capitalist America, these advertisers, and now they're leaving him. I hope they continue to leave. This son of a bitch needs to be gone. He really, really, 20 years ago, he needed to be gone. This is not humor. This is not funny. This is a big, bloated, drug-addled bully. bully, picking on whomever he chooses to pick on repeatedly, over and over again. And he does it for the same reason that a dog licks its own private parts, because he can. That's why. If you can think of a bigger obscenity in this society than Rush Limbaugh, you're operating in a different dimension, because there is not one. The damage this pig has done to political discourse, the damage he's done to talk radio. So spare me the emails about, come on, Mike, there are more important things to talk about. You have Gingrich caught on television, not criticizing this pig, instead criticizing Obama for apologizing to Afghanistan because of the irresponsible destruction of copies of the Quran. Imagine the consequences if a Muslim did the same to a Bible in this country, huh? What would happen, huh? Wouldn't Gingrich be the first one out there calling for that Muslim to be executed or drawn and quartered or worse? But here you have Limbaugh and Gingrich, two peas in a pod, two whales in a pod, tubby twins, mercilessly joined in mind and body, Vector writes. Both married seven times and counting, with at least five disparaged women. All right, that's enough. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Quietus contain.
Redefining anger management. Back to Mike Malloy.
Anger management. Twenty-five before the hour. This hour is being sponsored by Patricia, and her message is, we live out in the country between two towns. Life in the country can get complicated at times. I love that message. That is so mystical. A mystical message. Got an email here from Clay. Huh? Interesting. He writes, hi, Mike and Kathy, just know I'm hoping for your safety in Georgia. Oh, he was referring to the tornadoes the other night. This is written from the toxic state, New Jersey. Anyway, he says, whenever I see the flying monkey right take a position, so ridiculous, obvious in its incendiarism, I smell a rat, a ruse. So I wait. I break out the GOP script and expect one of their mouthpieces to add gasoline to the incendiary bomb. I turn the chapter to the part where the disgusted media make the feigned debate as to what the reaction to the mouthpiece should be, when it is clear the result will be nothing remedial, at least in the just point of view. The next chapter is the sheeple conflict between the resolute authoritarian desiring right wing and the frustrated liberals, too deluded to succumb to the reality that there is no such thing as reasonable discourse with these adversaries who just see this reality as nothing more than a real life football game. I root for my team and hate yours no matter what. But the next chapter Clay writes, is the most important. It is the chapter where the real power brokers that run this country, the ones that own our country, our legislatures, our executive, our courts, the ones who don't care which party wins, only how much money they can amass before their inevitable departure from this realm. It is in this chapter that the real aim, the one that fomented the original ridiculous position that started the sad story, is revealed. I just find these sentences really cool. However, it is usually an unread chapter because the masses at this point are usually too enraged from the previous chapters to care to read on. And so, when the issue of contraception came about in our Congress, I waited. When the pig man grabbed the mantle, I waited. Would the real issue be the obvious war on women? Or something so sinister it will be paradoxically ignored. Will war break out whilst we argue over absurdity? Will the exchanges decline? Will some law that has protected us for generations be quietly repealed while we argue over absurdity? I don't know. What I do know is that this week it was reported that since the fall of Lehman Brothers and our tax money saved the bank's asses, tens of billions of dollars from these very same banks went not to the ailing taxpayers who need these banks to loan money to small businesses, to modify their ravishing mortgages and never-ending student loan debt, to help them not be foreclosed on, to help America remain a viable freaking country. Tens of billions went to shareholders in dividends. Those who took a chance and lost, so much for the free market capitalism, and to the executives who created this illegal mess in the first place. But although this was revealed as a fact this week, we the people argued about the war on women. And the power brokers, the real owners, laughed. Carry on, sheeple. Carry on. Clay. Well, I think I get your point that we should be discussing weightier issues than the so-called and aptly named war on women. But I disagree with you, Clay. The attack that seems to be this particular political season unrelenting against women is as much a part of what this right-wing party, the so-called Republicans, is all about as anything else that they do. To ignore, and I'm not suggesting your email says we should ignore it and deal with weightier issues, but what is more important than this attack on more than 50% of the population of the United States? And not for any reason other than to justify their right-wing crazed religious crap. This whole issue of contraception or abortion, this has nothing whatsoever in the right-wingers' minds to deal with women's health, nothing to do with women's health. This has to do with control and invasion of privacy and following some twisted, perverted, degenerate holy script written by who knows that says women are less than men and therefore shall be treated as such. So it's not a minor issue, Clay. This is a matter of fact. I think it could be argued and probably successfully that this is the major issue. That has war with Iran, yawn. How many times have we have been to war? Nukes falling all over, yawn. We've been under that threat for 70 years. What else? A collapsing economy, yawn. So what? It's going to collapse or it's not. I mean, you can take that approach if you like. But the overarching subject the past few weeks, months, has been this unrelenting attack for religious reasons on women. Now, either, and on science, too. Let me add that. This religious war on females and science, and they seem to go hand in hand, don't they? So what are you suggesting with your email? That we just ignore this and move on to the real important issues? I'm sorry, my friend. To me, we have been talking about the important issue. XL pipeline, that's going to be around for a while. The war with Iran, oh, that's either coming or it's not coming. I mean, pick a topic. It's all the same. It doesn't really, I don't know, probably in the big scheme of things, does it really matter? Do those so-called big issues matter? Does any of this garbage matter? But when you have these religious Christian ayatollahs who are trying to do what the Muslim ayatollahs have done, and that is take us back 400, 500, 600 years to some kind of a medieval style relationship between the two sexes or among the four or five sexes. I mean, to me, that means you don't shut up and focus yet again on this god-awful XL Keystone pipeline. You you take a look at the driving force. I mean, why do you have right-wingers to deal with to begin with? Is it because of their support of a pipeline? No, it's because of their insistence that women should be demeaned and treated, as Limbaugh said, as whores, sluts, prostitutes. I don't know. From Chaotix writes, Mike, I so identify with your dilemma about what to do to rescue our environment and democracy. I, too, am getting just fuzzy around the edges, trying to feel useful in changing the huge mess we are in as a nation. I'm currently in what I like to refer to as my George Carlin state of mind. That is, just sitting back and watching the show. I only wish I had his genius at turning my frustration into comedy routines so I could at least enjoy the ride the way he did. Just saying. Yeah, okay. This is from Kentucky, from Chaotix in Kentucky. What else? I don't know. I hate to see it happening. I hate to see the attacks happening on women. I guess it's because I have daughters. I'm married to one. And I also would like to ask you right-wingers who just sit there while Limbaugh attacks symbolically or in a representational way, your wife, your mom, your daughters. I mean, you right-wing men, that's who I'm addressing right now. I can't even get my mind around the concept of a right-wing woman. But you right-wing men, Limbaugh is if you're any of your female family members use some kind of drug or device to prevent pregnancy, any kind of birth control. You understand, of course, that Limbaugh is calling your family member a slut, a whore, you know, round-heeled. Does that bother you? Or are you just going to tune in tomorrow? Did you tune in today? Are you just going to continue? Are you going to try to rationalize it and justify it by saying Limbaugh's an entertainer while he calls your wife and your daughter a whore and a slut? before the hour. This hour has been sponsored by Patricia. Patricia White, she writes, we live out in the country between two towns. Life in the country can get complicated at times. I love that. That's great, Patricia. It just begs the question, you know, how does it get complicated at times? I don't know. Top 10 Catholic teachings that Rick Santorum rejects while obsessing about birth control. This kind of stuff matters. This is not about global warming. It's not about nukes in Iran. It's not about Israel pushing the world to World War III. It's not about the Iranians taunting the rest of the world because they want to be just like the big kids in the neighborhood. But it is important. The right-wing thugs who have been denouncing the requirement that female employees have access to birth control as part of their health benefits as an attack on religious freedom completely ignore the church teachings they don't agree with. As Juan Cole writes at juancole.com, Rick Santorum and Newt Gingrich are both Catholics and wear their faith on their sleeves. I'll go further than that, Juan. They try to beat the hell out of you with it, literally. But they are hypocritical in picking and choosing when they wish to listen to the princes and the bishops of their church. For example, John Paul II was against anyone going to war against Iraq, but I think you'll find that Santorum and Gingrich supported the war. The Conference of Catholic Bishops requires that health care be provided to all Americans, but I think you'll find that Santorum and Gingrich oppose universal health care. Catholic Church opposes the death penalty, but I think you'll find that Gingrich and Santorum support it lustily. The U.S. Conference of Bishops has urged that the federal minimum wage be increased for the so-called working poor. I think you'll find that Santorum and Gingrich are decidedly against the raising of the minimum wage. The bishops want welfare for all needy families, saying, quote, we reiterate our call for a minimum national welfare benefit that will permit children and their parents to live in dignity. A decent society will not balance its budget on the backs of poor children, end quote. I think you'll find that one of Gingrich's favorite phrases is food stamp president, and he suggests that little children be forced to work as janitors. Jesus. Santorum, his solution to everything is just go have sex and have another baby. The U.S. bishops say that, quote, the basic rights of workers must be respected. The right to productive work, to decent and fair wages, to the organization and joining of unions. Santorum? Well, he used to support unions back in the 90s, but now all of a sudden, surprisingly, he is anti-union. Rick, you're telling the leaders of your church to kiss your butt. You better be careful, dude. They're going to pray you into hell. Come on, Rick. And Gingrich, as far as you, we all know that your Catholicism is as phony as a $9 bill. But anyway, Catholic bishops demand the withdrawal of Israel from Palestinian territories occupied in 1967. Santorum and Gingrich more or less deny that there are any Palestinians. So that once again, they're giving the middle finger to their bishops, right? Right? The U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops ripped into Arizona's law on treatment of immigrants. In fact, Cardinal Roger Mahoney characterized this law as, quote, the country's most retrogressive, mean-spirited, and useless anti-immigrant law, saying that it, quote, it's based on totally flawed reasoning that immigrants come to our country to rob, plunder, and consume public resources, end quote. And Cardinal Roger Mahoney even went so far as to suggest that the law is a harbinger of American Nazism. Santorum and Gingrich, they attack anchor babies, children born here to illegal or undocumented immigrants. Santorum and Gingrich also attack the provisions of any service to children of undocumented immigrants born and brought up in the U.S. Boys, you're going against your church! What else? The bishops have urged that undocumented immigrants not be treated as criminals. What does Santorum and Gingrich want to do with them? Right. Man. So, when Gingrich and or Santorum wear their religious beliefs the way they do, strictly for show, strictly to try to impress people. Although in Santorum's case, I think he really is a fanatic. He's as much as a fanatic as any religious suicide bomber. He is. Gingrich, he's just doing it because his current wife, and probably soon to be ex, demands it. I mean, she promises that she will put on her plastic face and fake hair every morning, and in order to make him look good, or so he thinks, and he promises that he will act like a uber Catholic, you know, until this campaign is over and he can go back to making his real money on the rubber chicken circuit. Then he'll just float back into his adulterous ways if he isn't there already. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.